May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Those of you who have been around long enough are aware of my great passion and love for the book of the Song of Solomon. This amazing book that the Lord uses to convey the extravagant level of his love for us just always blows me away. As you know, Solomon represents the Lord Jesus, and the Shulamite represents the believer. And he uses language that's so extraordinary, but it's to help us on a human level to comprehend some idea of how he sees us and how he loves us. It's a hard thing to imagine, and it's a hard thing for believers to accept that even though God may not be pleased with us at times, he never stops cherishing us. We know that Micah 5:17 says, he delights in unending love. Well, unending means regardless of the circumstances. He may again not be pleased with our behavior, but once we've given our life to Christ, that unending, unceasing love for us, he delights in it. He delights in loving us all the time. Even if we grieve his heart, he still delights that he has a relationship with us. He can heal and fix the failure. But he delights in the fact that we're his. And so here's some language from Song of Solomon, chapter 4, of Jesus about us. He says, you're altogether beautiful, my love, and there's no spot or blemish in you. That's an amazing scripture. It says in verse 9 of chapter 4, Jesus speaking to us, you make my heart beat faster, my sister and my bride. You make my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand of your necklace. The necklace speaks of the neck. The strand speaks of surrender, obedience. Just one act of obedience. Just one look in my direction of affection. He says, ravishes my heart. That's just extraordinary. But of course, God is love. And so his capacity to love, to feel, and to love, trying to describe that, would be overwhelmingly larger than anything we're ever free enough and transparent enough to convey to someone we might love. You see, God doesn't deal with the insecurity and the pride that we do, the fear of rejection, just the embarrassment about expressing how we feel about someone. He doesn't have those issues. He's not insecure. And so he's really free to openly say to us, look, just one act of obedience. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Just one act of surrender, just one moment of looking to me in affection ravishes my heart. That's not a sign. It seems like he's like, well, God, that seems, you're kind of like mushy, sort of weak. And no, it's a sign of someone who doesn't walk in broken love, fallen love. And then he makes this statement. He said, how much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils and all kinds of spices. And we don't have time to go through all this, but those of you who've been around Song of Solomon long enough know that wine in the Song of Solomon speaks of pleasures. And he says, how much better is your love toward me than any other pleasure I ever experienced? And God, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy, and in his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He said, but our love directed towards him is the greatest pleasure that he experiences. And when he says, and the oils are on the skin. This is told about Jesus in chapter 1 about us. Lord, your presence is most satisfying. Your love brings me the greatest pleasure. Nothing in the world can compare. But now he's talking about us. And when he talks about the oil that's on the skin, he's talking about our presence. He says, your love for me is the greatest pleasure that I know. And when you're present to me, so your very presence to me is better than all kinds of spices. That's just a remarkable statement. That's why it says in Song of Solomon 2, he says, your voice, Chuck, is sweet. Your form is beautiful to me. I love it when you spend time with me. When you give me your presence, undistracted presence, and just talk to me, it is so powerful. That's God speaking to you and me. And that's why this verse makes so much more sense to me. Isaiah 62. Remember the crown that Jesus wore on earth? He wore a crown of thorns. And that crown of thorns not only represents his victory, a crown represents victory, but the thorns represent a suffering, a price that's paid for that victory. I believe the crown that Jesus wears throughout eternity is a crown of thorns. And here's why I believe that. This is Isaiah 62. He said, you will be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said to you, forsaken, nor about you, desolate. But you will be called, this is your name, this is one of your names in heaven. My delight is in you. And your land married, for the Lord delights in you. And to him your land, and for as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over their bride, God rejoices over you. Just an extraordinary verse, but I love this. You will be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. You see, the crown of thorns represents to God and to the whole universe, angels and on earth, that crown of beauty that is you. The crown of thorns represents how beautiful God considers you, that he would pay such a price to possess you. And that God's greatest conquest is your love. Did you hear that? God grabs a crown of thorns. The crown of thorns represents that the Lord was so fascinated with who you are. You're altogether beautiful, my love. There's no spot or blemish in you. We know better than that, right? But isn't it wonderful to have somebody like that love me that way? He says, the crown of thorns is a victor's crown. The diadem is a victor's crown. And it's saying that God considers you so amazing. He loves you so much that his greatest conquest, the crown, is your love. That he's conquered your heart for him. No wonder Paul was able to say with such impact that the most significant thing about him was that the love of Christ controlled him. He was being that crown of beauty in his life. That's what I want to be. I want to love him more. I want the Lord to teach my heart to love. I want that love of Christ that's been shed abroad in my heart, we've talked about this week, to take over my life. Because that's God's greatest conquest. That's the thing he's after. You want to know what's number one priority on God's list, to-do list? You want to know what God's number one priority is? To love you so much that he conquers your heart. Because you're the crown of beauty he carries around his hand throughout eternity. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.